Sure.
Just pass it to the set seat. Okay, go ahead and knock. Okay. So, I want to spend the next six fiorim or so doing something that we did 5 or 6 years ago. Perhaps some people, including me, forget in the course of time. Dr. Isserow keeps close records of everything that goes on. But I was struck by the article in the New York Times yesterday, which said that only 17% of the population of New York City lives in what used to be called the standard nuclear family, that is, a husband, a wife, and possibly some children. This, combined with the fact that the divorce rate seems to be over 50% in most Western countries, and that in Western Europe, more than 50% of the children are born to unmarried mothers, seems to indicate that we can perhaps spend some time studying the history of marriage as a, you know, discuss its beginnings, its development, and its end and I especially want to do this because it's fairly clear to me that within the next 5 to 10 years in Israel there'll be a crisis over the issue of rabbinical control of marriage and divorce. I don't think the population will tolerate the incompetence that's exhibited by the rabbinical courts in dealing with this question, especially with the increase in the divorce rate in Israel as well. So I thought that the main topic that I would like to discuss, we won't get to it tonight, is the issue of community control of marriage. We discussed this, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, but it's worthwhile going over these topics altogether. But as an interesting introduction to the subject, I want to point out that there exist other forms of relationships between the sexes.
Gary, is the door open?
The door is wide open.
Maybe we ought to close it. Wait a few. All right, I'll go out in a few minutes and close that
So, tonight I would like to discuss the Pelegesh, which is a form of relationship between the sexes, which no longer, or at least until 30 or 40 years ago, no longer existed in the Jewish community. So let's take a look at this subject, and we will start by reviewing some of the halachic sources, and then we will go back and take a look at, which will pose some problems for us, and then we will go back and see how to resolve those problems in the resolution of the problem, which will involve a certain amount of pre-rabbinic history and perhaps even pre-biblical history. I'm going to rely to a great deal on the chapter on concubinage in Epstein's book, which I xeroxed for you. The older of us remember Louis Epstein. Some of his scholarship is really quite extraordinary, and at one point or another I'm going to rely on him, but let's first begin with the Rambam. So we're beginning in the middle, so to speak. The Rambam, please, the Rambam mentions the notion, the word Pelegesh, by the way, is obviously not a Hebrew word. It doesn't sound like a Hebrew word. It's a Semitic word, but it's not a Hebrew word. The exact etymology of the word is unclear, what language it originally comes from. I haven't had a chance to look at that. I wouldn't mind, but I haven't had a chance to look at it. But in any event, the word was imported from the Hebrew or from the Semitic into the Greek and into the Latin. So the original a Latin word for a concubine was pelex, which is just clearly from Pilegesh. But we're going to have to understand the transitions. But let's first take a look, as I say, we will not start at the beginning or at the end, we will start in the middle. The Rambam, as usual, has a theory, and in Hilchot Ishut, on the very first page of my handout, we see in Halacha Dalet, he writes, Kodem Matam Torah, Haya Adam Pogea Isha Bashuk, Im Ratza Hu Vehi, Notein La Sara Uboelota, Al Eim Haderach Poholek. So he says, in the ancient times, there was a notion of sex for hire. Man and a woman had her price, if you man paid her price, they engaged in sexual activity, and that was the end of that. Now, of course, I don't know what the Rambam really means by this. V'zuhi hanikret kadesha. I mean, obviously, marriage antedated Matan Torah. I mean, the Torah itself tells us about all the people before Noah who had wives and so on, so that therefore the Rambam can't mean exactly that the institution of marriage didn't exist prior to Torah. To Matan Torah. And also he can't mean that the official meaning of the word Kadesha meant the streetwalker, which it seems to be his interpretation here, because obviously the word Kadesha in its original meaning meant the sacred prostitute, that is, women who engaged in acts of prostitution either as part of the ritual in the pagan temple, or in order to earn money for the pagan temple. And then we know that they had female and male prostitutes, they Kadesh and a Kadesha, and presumably the original meaning of Mechir Kelev meant male prostitute, not a dog, the way the Rabbanim interpret it, because in the Pasuk it's parallel to Kadesha. So at any event, certainly the original meaning of Kadesha was a sacred prostitute. However, the Rambam chooses to interpret a casual sex for hire as an instance of Kadesha. V'zuhi hanikret Kadesha. So all of this was perfectly legitimate, and we know, for example, that Yehuda hired someone whom he thought to be a prostitute in the case of Tamar, and there was seemingly nothing wrong with that. Mishenitna ha-Torah ne'esra ha-Kadesha, she'ne'emar lo tihye Kadesha mebnot Yisrael. There should be no prostitutes from Bnot Yisrael. Lefichach, Rambam says, he draws a very strong conclusion from this. Lefichach, kol habo'el isha l'shem znut, b'lo kiddushin, lo kemen ha-Torah lefisha ba'al Kadesha. So the Rambam takes the most extreme position amongst all of the Rishonim, maintaining that sex outside of the confines of marriage constitutes a lav medioraita, and there is malkot and islam.
Money or no money? No.
Wait, excuse me.
I mean, did it have involve money in this case?
He says it doesn't mention money. His conclusion is.
Yeah, but in this case, in the conclusion.
In the conclusion, all he says is any sex outside of marriage falls under the prohibition of lo tia kedusha.
Shame's loose.
He doesn't. Shame's not meaning below kedushin. That's his definition.
When he goes from north Israel to Isha without identifying her as to whether she's Israelis or not.
Presumably, the Isha refers to a Bat Yisrael.
Okay.
But the Shem's Nut, apparently, according to the Rambam, means simply, we will see more of the Rambam later, means simply a sex outside of marriage. Okay? The Rambam in Hilchot Na'ara Betula writes, my second page, Halacha. By the way, before we pass to that, let's take a look at the Raiva. Katav ha-Raiva Zal, Ein Kadesha Ela Mezumenet Vehi ha-Mufkeret L'chol Ha'adam. The word Kadesha does only means a woman who is available to all comers, to all men. Aval ha-Miyachedet Atzma Le'ish Echad, a woman who is monogamous,
shemzus,
to have sex with only one man, ein ba lo malkot v'lo isur la.
Even the shemzus.
Yeah, he's saying, what does shemzus mean? I don't know what your definition is, but he's saying that a woman who dedicates herself to having sexual relations, with conjugal relations with only one man outside of the context of marriage, is not a, there is no malkot and no prohibition. V'hi ha-pilege shaktuva ba-pasuk. And that is the pilege. In other words, according to the Ravad, a woman who is faithful to one man as opposed to devoting herself to sex for hire is called a pilegesh. V'aleha lashon darshin pilegesh mila hafucha umukevet pishagal omedet lepakim lemishgal. A woman who is available for sex. Mishgal meaning sex. In other words, of course this is a false etymology, but according to the Raiva, therefore the definition of a pilegesh is a woman who makes herself available to a single man for sexual purposes, but has no other legal demands or bonds on the individual. But those are wives. Those are wives. Here we're talking about a woman which is outside the context of marriage, according to the Ravad. Okay? Or he says, maybe she's a mixture of a housekeeper and a sexual object. We'll come back to what the definition of a pilegesh is in a little bit. Okay? So the Ravad objects to the Rambam's strenuous prohibition on sex outside the context of marriage. The Rambam in Perek Beis of Na'arah Betulah, my next page, says, Halacha Yud Zayin, Ani Omer. What happened to Dr. Yisrael? Ani Omer. Sheze she'ne'emar b'Torah, al techalel et bitcha lahaznota. When it says in the Torah, the word chalel, lachalel, is not clear. What the meaning is. I mean, my second page, it's Halacha Yud Zayin on the top. Okay? Ani omer sheze she'ne'emar b'Torah al techalel et bitcha lahaznota. Don't be mechalel your daughter to turn her into a prostitute. We nowadays attach to the meaning halal from chulin or from chilul Hashem, something like that, to
disgrace.
Probably the original meaning here was something else. It probably was a technical term having to do with setting aside for sexual purposes. And the word halal probably meant perforation rather than in a sexual sense, rather than degradation. But in any event, al techalel et bitcha lahaznota, shelo yomar ha'av ho'il v'lo chibat Torah mafateh ba'ones, ela sheyitein mamon la'av, since the father collects in cases of seduction or rape of his minor daughter. So if I'm going to collect the penalty, ha'reni socher viti abtula lazeh lavo alav v'chol mamon she'ertzeh. If I'm allowed to collect damages, obviously the goods must belong to me, therefore why can't I sell my daughter for sexual purposes on the market? If all I have is a monetary interest in the value of my daughter, then I perhaps can let my acquaintance take sexual use of my daughter. Lakach ne'emar, al techalel lepitcha, sheze shechivat Torah la'ones u'mafateh mamon v'lo malkot. The fact that the Bible inflicted a financial penalty and not malkot on the case of sexual relations between a man and a maid. Kishira hadavam mikre, shelo midat avia. That's if this thing occurred in the heat of the moment, in the throes of passion, without the knowledge of her father. Velo hechina atzva lakach. This is something which is not a common or practical occurrence, and it's not common. And perhaps you can go one step further and say that this is something that can't be guarded against. If a man and a girl find themselves in a situation in which they're overwhelmed by passion and can't control their impulses, well, this is something that happens, and it's interesting to... The straight reading of the Rambam is that there's no malkot for that. So the Rambam, in contrast to the distinction to the Raiva, if we read the Rambam straightforwardly and simply, is saying that one-time sex, because of the passions of the moment, don't carry malkot, whereas a concubine does carry malkot, the exact opposite of the Raiva's position. Okay?
Here's a minor. She's a minor.
Yeah, but the man isn't the minor. Aval im heiniach b'toa p'tula muchenet l'chol nishi yavo eleha. If a man would allow his daughter to be available to anyone, goreim shitimalei ha'aret zima v'nimtza ha'av nosei b'to v'ach nosei achoto. You would find a father marrying a daughter and a brother a sister, she'im titaber v'teleid. If she would become pregnant and bear a child, lo yodea ben mihu, v'anichin bito lakach harehi k'desha, v'lo keha bo'el v'anivele mishum, lo tehi k'desha. So if the woman is set aside as a prostitute, okay. The Raivad here also disagrees. He says, ein dati maskemet laze, I don't agree with this, she'ein k'desha ela she'omedet b'kuba shel zono. A prostitute is someone who actually lives in a bracha, but a
street watcher is
not. Or apparently not, but or certainly a high class call girl might not be, according to the Rambam. Okay, I will take that show. Okay. V'chein amu b'sifri lo take kedesha azharal mazanek inyan shenemar lo haytal bazek kedesha v'sham nemar ayeh kedesha ha. Because they used to keep the brothels on the inns on the crossroads. Okay. So that therefore the Raivad again in both places takes a stringent position against casual sex, and the Rambam does, and the Raivad disagrees on two points. He says that there's no prohibition whatsoever for a man to have a mistress who is monogamous, and the notion of prostitute means a woman who is steadily employed in a brothel, in a place where prostitutes are congregate, but a situation in which a woman is randomly available for sex, that is, doesn't constitute a prostitute, and therefore doesn't fall under the category of love degradation. Finally, let's take on my third page, the third place where the Rambam mentions these halachot, and that's in Hilchot Melachim, Perek Dalid, Halacha Dalid. V'chein lokeach michol gvul Yisrael nashim upilakshim. The king has the right to take women as wives or as concubines or as pilakshim. Let's not use the word concubine, let's use the word pilakshim. Wives or pilakshim. What's the difference? Nashim b'ktuva b'kdushim u'filakshim b'lo k'tuva u'v'lo k'dushim. A difference between a wife and a concubine is a wife has a marriage contract and has also an act of kedushin. And the Pilegesh does not have either a marriage contract or...
And the offspring?
The offspring are perfectly kasher.
Or even for Pilegesh?
Yes. Elo b'yichud lo bilvad kone ota umuteret lo. Aval ha-hedyot, the ordinary citizen, other than a king, asur b'pilegesh, is not allowed to keep a Pilegesh. The only case where it's available, Ela ba'amoha ivriya bilvad achar iud. The only case where something like a pilegesh can take place for an ordinary citizen is in a situation where a man buys a maidservant and then converts her into his wife through the act of yud, in which case she becomes his wife, rather, according to the halacha, the way we know it, the original purchase price becomes converted into the meikdushin. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the Rambam's position is clear, but at the moment, slightly strange. That is, why does he say these things? There's no source whatsoever in the Gemara to say that there's a distinction between the king and the ordinary individual as far as the laws of Pilegesh is concerned. It's true that the issue of what constitutes a Pilegesh and what doesn't constitute a Pilegesh is debated in the Gemara. The Yerushalmi in Ketuvot says, "V'ezuhu isha v'ezuhu pilegesh." I didn't Xerox this because I didn't have a chance. Rabbi Meir Omer, machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda. "Ezuhu isha v'ezuhu pilegesh." Rabbi Meir Omer, isha yesh laktuba, pilegesh ein laktuba. The difference between a woman and a pilegesh is that a wife has a ktuba, and a pilegesh does not have a ktuba. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achat zu v'achat zu yesh la ktuba. Both the wife and the pilegesh have a ktuba. Isha yesh la ktuba utna e ktuba. The additional clauses that a wife adds to the ktuba, above and beyond the matayim zuz, is possible for an ordinary wife. Pilegesh yesh la ktuba ve'en latna e ktuba. Okay? That's what the Yerushalmi says. The Bavli in Sanhedrin, the Chaf Aleph, says that a Pilegesh, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Nashim b'ktuva uviktushin, Pilagshim b'lo ktuva uvelo ktushin. So the later opinion, that of Rav, is to deny to the Pilegesh even the Kedushin, right? So certainly, according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the notion of a pilegesh isn't quite what the Raivad is describing. That is, a woman who's available on a permanent basis, available for sex, but with no marriage whatsoever. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, both of the Tanoim, seem to feel that the notion of a pilegesh involves some kind of marriage, that is, a secondary form of marriage, but one which has limitations on the financial obligations of a husband. It's only when we get to Rabbi Yehuda Amarav that we find that he says that Nashim is Bulik Tuva Uvulik Tushim.
What?
Excuse me?
What's the difference between a concubine or a mistress?
Well, I don't want to use either word, because let's stick to the word pilegesh, because the whole point here is that the definition of this term is unclear, and the justification for the Rambam comes from the fact that if we examine the history of the subject, we will see that it has an extremely interesting history. In the pasuk in Bereishit, "Uvnei ha-pilagshim asher li-Avraham natan Avraham matanot," Rashi says, "Peirushu rabotenu ha-pilagshim nashim b'ktuva, pilagshim b'lo ktuva." That's Rashi's text, apparently in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, which would be according to Rabbi Meir's opinion in the Yerushalmi. The Rambam disagrees, and he says, "V'Rashi katav nashim b'ktuva pilakshim shelo b'ktuva l'vi amar nashim l'kshem devim v'ein b'sadon drin edaval kein t'ilo tikra pilegesh ela shekishi b'lo kidushim ki ha'ktuva midivrei sofri." Since the marriage contract is only in the Divrei Sofrim, there can't be a distinction in the Torah between a pilegesh and a regular wife on the basis of a ketubah. V'hagirsa b'Sanhedrin, the correct text in Sanhedrin, which is the one that I just read to you, is pilegesh v'lo ketubah u'v'lo ketushim. Okay? Aval efshar, he says, it's possible, shegam b'nei Noach, Kasher Yisalehem Nashim Kemishpatan. Perhaps in the laws of the various nations, B've'ilah, once they would engage in the consummation of the marriage by conjugal relations, Hayu Nogim Lechtov Lehem Mohar Umatan. They would write a contract involving presents and so on. V'asher l'sonam shetiyeh lahem pilegesh v'yishlach lahem kasher yitzev lo yibanim b'nol chalim et shelo lo hayakotov l'klum. That perhaps when he wanted the child not to inherit, they would not write any contract whatsoever. Okay, but the question that remains for us is, why does the Rambam introduce something that we see apparently no origin for whatsoever anywhere in the Gemara, namely that only a king is allowed to have a pilegesh? And the second question, of course, is why is it that the Rambam is so much more strict than the other Rishonim when it comes to the notion of pilegesh, or at least the way they interpret pilegesh to mean a woman who is available sexually without the confines of marriage. Okay? The Ramban is quite clear in opposition to the Rambam, just as the Ravid was. Let's take a look at my page 4. This is a tshuva from the Ramban. It's printed in the Tshuvos HaRashba, but it's amongst those of the Tshuvos HaRashba which are attributed to the Ramban. Od zot ha-tshuva hi-shiva Ramban zal Rabbeinu Yonah. Here is another response that the Ramban wrote to Rabbeinu Yonah. Ish ha-lokim kadoshu harav ha-chasir Rabbeinu Yonah zal shlomcha v'shlom taratcha yigdal la'ad v'yaskel ha-netzim. הגיענו עם מצוותך בעניין הפילגש להודיע לך בדעתי על דרך האמת לא כנושא ונותן. Your request for me to give you a final opinion, a decisive opinion on the issue of the פילגש, not hemming and hawing, and I'm going to respond to you. לא ידעתי במה יסתפקו בה. I have no idea why there should be a problem with a pilegesh. The vadai muterati. There should be no reason to prohibit. She's certainly permissible.
She's Jewish.
Yeah, of course. We're talking about a Jewish pilegesh. No, a Jewish pilegesh. Kevan sheichdala atzmo. Shelo ne'esra isha biznut liYisrael. Ela midrasho shel Rabbi Eliezer. Nimtza ach nosei et achoto. Ve'av nosei et no. The only reason for prohibiting casual sexual relation is because you lose track of paternity. Bal zene ema umleha umalaha eratzima, aval kishenich nisabaveto, vehim yuchedet viudua lo. If she is a mistress to this individual, but now nikroim al shmo, it's clear that her children are identified with him as the father. Umuteret. And that's completely permissible. Sharei David nasa uta. And nowhere in the Tanakh or in the Gemara do we find any distinction between a king and an ordinary citizen. Matzinu gedolei Yisrael nos imota sheneemar veifa pilegesh kalev yalda v'gidon shoftan shel Yisrael shidiver bo Hashem k'tiva upilakshav asher b'shchem yalda lo. So we find individuals in the Tanakh who did have a pilegesh. V'im tomar she'ashofet harei hu kemelech b'pnei shenoheg svara al hatzibur u'pilegesho yedua natata dvarecha l'shiurim l'hatira l'vaalei shem. If you're going to say that it's the famous people, then in other words, you can, that it's not only the king, but maybe also the mayor or the dog catcher. In other words, you've not put any clear definition as to what constitutes an official and what constitutes an ordinary citizen. Upilegesh begiva, and the famous story of the pilegesh begiva, ilu haita asura alav, if she would have been prohibited to him. Lo amah katuv vayakam isha vayelach achreya ochte vayom arvi anara el chutno v'gam hu mitvayesh b'zimato, and he should have had a sense of shame about it. Ela shayad avam mutar v'nahug v'Yisrael. It was obviously something that was a common practice. V'hu amar v'yochez v'pilakshi v'anatcherak yasu ziman v'ala. He cut her carcass up, if you remember, into pieces. Miklal shulhu lo asal lo zima v'lo nevala. That's not such a strong argument. There's a difference between gang rape and murder and having a case of a mistress. But nevertheless, the Ramban says that there's no evidence whatsoever that he was in any way ashamed or a sense of shame attached to that relationship. Where did you ever find such a prohibition against the man's having a mistress?
What's the bracha
design? One should not consummate the marriage until after the Birchot Nisuin. This is Sheva Brach. ובעניין הזה היא שנויה במקום רב במסכת קלה, וכך אמרו, כל הפוחת לבטולה ממתיים ויאלמנה, הרי זה בעילתו בעילתנות, וכן אמרו במקדש על תנאי, ובעל אין אדם עושה בעילתו בעילתנות, והטעם לכולן, מפני שהקידושים והחופה מצוות עשה, וכל שבל יישא אישה שתהיה אסורה לכל אדם וקנויה לו, ליורשה ולטמא לה, אמרה תורה יקדש ויכניס לחופה ויברך ברכת חסנים וחתנים ויסרה והיא מקדים לבוא על ארוסתו בבית חמה ולא כמכת מרדות. All of this he's saying is only מכת מרדות, that if you decide that you want to marry a woman with all the prerogatives and obligations of marriage, then don't consummate the marriage until all the forms have been fulfilled. This of course is quite a bit far-fetched in the interpretation of the halacha, but that's what he's saying. I'm not saying it, the Ramban is saying it black on white. Namely, that the various prohibitions for engaged couples or people who have had kiddushin but not yet nisuin to consummate their marriage is only a mitzvah de rabbanan and in makat mardut, the prohibition, because if you want to go through with a marriage, go through it the proper way. But basically, if you want to avoid marriage altogether, there's nothing wrong with living together.
Is there a difference between
Mardus
and
Malkus? Yeah, Malkut is normally an Isur Deoraita, and Mardut is an Isur Derabbanan. V'im achar sheikh nisa beveito hikdim uvala v'lo bracha asura lo kenida. V'chein kol shelo katav lo matayim svarahi kevan she'eno nohegi makabal einav notan begerushin havya la gerushat alev. Since she's expecting the ketuva and he's engaging in sex before writing it, she will have the worry that perhaps he's planning to divorce her and not fulfill his marriage obligation.
Is it pelegish even yet?
Is it pelegish even yet? No. Yet? However, if he wished to keep this woman not as his wife, but as his, let's use the term mistress, but pelegish, shelo tie kinuyalo, that she should not be his object, v'lo asura al acherim, and that she should not be prohibited to go to others. Lo kidesh klal, so without kedushin, harushit biyado. In other words, it's perfectly permissible, the Ramban says, for a man to maintain a mistress. V'gam divrei haRambam zal einam le'esor pilegesh lehedyota lahatira lamelech. Of course, that's exactly what the Ramban does say, but he's trying to, he can't tolerate that, to take the Rambam literally. Ela kach amar, v'chol ha-bo'eh l'isha l'shem znut, v'lo kedushin lo kem b'nei sheba'al k'dei shal. L'shem znut, what does it mean, l'shem znut? He gives exactly the opposite interpretation for the Rambam's position than the one we gave. Haynu shepagaba u'ba'ala v'lo yichta la'atzmo mishum pilagshut, da'aynu k'dei shal. Casual sex is the only type of sex, says the Ramban, that the Rambam prohibits. But a woman, in other words, engaging in casual sex, according to the Rambam, is equivalent to hiring a prostitute, and that is prohibited because of lota hekdesha. But he's trying to convince us, of course we shouldn't be convinced by it, that the Rambam himself only prohibits casual sex, but not a mistress.
וכן בהלכות מלאכים כשהזכיר פי להגשים במלך, לא הזכיר כלל שהוא היתר מיוחד לו. וכבר כתבתי בזה בספר המצוות, תראו שם, הנה הוא ביד הסך הגדול, החכם רבי מאיר אל מוסטריף, רום הודו. So this is a clear, Rabbeinu Yonah requested from the Ramban, a clearly stated position with no equivocation, and he gave him a clearly stated position with no equivocation, namely that a man is allowed to live with a woman outside of the married state, provided that the relationship is relatively stable in the sense that she doesn't have sex with other people while she's living with him. She decides to live with him and go engage with sex or to become someone else's mistress, that's her right. But during the time of their relationship, she should be temporarily at least monogamous. The Ramban is very clear. There's no room for dispute here. And of course, it's pretty stunning because it runs essentially counter to all our intuition on the role of sex and marriage in Jewish law, right? I mean, the Jewish tradition, the way we've learned it in the school, would certainly frown upon any form of extramarital sex. In other words, the Rambam's position is much closer to the one that we would take for granted.
Well, we have Rabbeinu Gershom's theorem.
That has
the impact.
Well, we will see. I didn't Xerox some of those tshuvos, but some of the people in response to this position of the Ramban maintained that Rabbeinu Gershom's theorem applied only to two wives. But if a man has a wife and also wants to have several mistresses, in addition, Rabbeinu Gershom's position of prohibition doesn't apply. Let's skip to my page 6. Let's take a look at the Rashba. So here the difficulty that we have with the Ramban is that it seems to run counter to everything that comes before the Ramban. That is, and certainly everything that we know in our past 500 years or so of Jewish experience, up until, say, 30 or 40 years ago of the sexual resolution, namely that sex should be confined to marriage. Yes, that's the Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
Yeah, again.
Okay, we won't. Since everybody remembers Rabbi Yaakov Emden's tshuva, he wanted to revive. Okay, let's turn to my page 6. Okay. This is a tshuva of the Rashba. Oda Marta, Sheyesh Echad Shehu Tofes Yishme'elit Miyuchedet, someone captured an Arab girl, the Gira, and converted her, V'natan L'Kedushin, V'hi Ima B'lo K'tuva, then she is living with him without a ketuba. Va'ani rotze lahutziya mimenu. And the person who was writing to the Rashba says that I would like to take her out of his house. Mepnei shehechramnu al zeh b'ma'asav, we have made a communal piece of legislation, a cherem, sheyotzi kol mi shetofes yishme'elit or afilu yehudit, O Yuseeno Bikdushin Biktuva. Vohuta'un, and Vohuta'un. And he's a man who has already been suspected of having prior sexual relations. Tahuima Beheter Acheshe Kitcha, Vagam Alacherim Tuen Shua Samo Da'ata. Tshuva. Kvar Yadata, Sheshaninu Bivamok Reher Ketzad, Hanit'an Min Ashipcha Venishtachora, Min Hanachrit Venitgaira, Lo Yichnos. Someone who has been suspected of having sexual relations with a Gentile woman and she converted, or with a slave girl and she was set free, should not marry her. V'im kanas ein motziin miyado. V'yafshar shafilu lo kanas b'nisuin elo shekadik shikidesh ein motziin miyado. V'chol b'tzkri haget motziin karinu. V'on ein motziin b'deyevad. The Gemara in Yevamot says that we don't let them marry, but if they've already married, we don't force them to divorce. Ve'im lo sheheharamtem, if not for your particular cherem, efshar hayala shota etzlo, it would have been possible for him to live with her. Tahainu pilegesh, and that's the status of pilegesh. He could have lived with her as his concubine, as his pilegesh. Aval acherem ma'akev. But your legislation prohibits that type of arrangement. In other words, the Rashba is saying is that in all other Jewish communities that don't have this particular form of legislation, there's no prohibition against the man living with his mistress in
maid,
without marriage. But since you've issued some legislation against it, it will be prohibited. Okay? So we see that this wasn't only the Ramban and the Raiva, this is also the Rashba, who takes for granted that a man is allowed to have a mistress, a concubine, whatever. That is, a woman who lives with him for sexual purposes, but with outside of the confines of marriage. Let's take a look. A couple of generations later, in the Tzeda L'Aderech, this is a Talmud of the son of the Rosh. Okay? So this is Perek Sheni from Mamar Rishon, from Klal Rishon from the Mamar HaShlishi. Perek Sheni Yedaber B'Minhag Kodem Matan Torah U'Veheter Papilakshim Ezetzai. What is the
Heter?
What is the status of the Pilek? So he says, "Kodem matan Torah, haya adam pogea isha b'shuk im ratzahu vehi lisa ota machnis leveito v'ola veino levein atzmo v'tiyelo leisha." Kevan shenatna Torah, nitzaveinu sheim yotze ha'ish likach isha yikne ota b'fnei edim v'yachakach tiyelo leisha shenemar ki yikach ish isha uba'ale. So again, he has a slightly different historical assumption. Namely, that before Matan Torah, there was no formal marriage contract, but rather a man would bring a woman into his house and decide to become married. V'lukuchim eilu b'yachad mishlosha dvarim, v'kesef o v'shtar o v'viya, v'lukuchim eilu nikvayim kidushin o eivusim. V'kevan shei mukudeshet b'yachad mishlosha dvarim eilu, af al pi shelo niv'ala, lo nechnesa l'chupa, harehu ki yeshetish, v'abo ala chutz niv'ala chayav nita.
How do you differentiate between casual sex and...
He's not talking yet. The first thing that he's talking about at the moment is marriage.
But
once the Kiddushin has... Before Matan Torah, marriage was achieved by sexual consummation.
Yeah, but did you have to specify that this is for marriage?
Yes,
and not casual
I have to specify. Yeah. He doesn't give us too detailed a theory of what existed before Matan Torah. And we will come back to that because that's very important for us. We will see what the actual facts are by looking at the Code of Hammurabi and various other texts to see what actually was going on. But he's saying that prior to Matan Torah, the formal marriage ceremony consisted simply of the woman coming into the man's house. After Matan Torah, there's Kiddushin in one of the three ways, and then followed by Nisuin. But once the Kiddushin has taken place, that she's his anishish. And he's saying that a casual sex, kol haboel b'lok yishun l'shem znut asur, it is prohibited to have casual sex. Casual sex. Aval liyachta la'atzmo b'lok yidushin muta. But to have a mistress who is devoted to him, that's without kiddushin is muta. V'zu yapilege shaktuva b'nevi'im. Ve'emu chazal, nashim b'ktuva v'kdushim, pilakshim b'lo k'tuva v'kdushim. V'zo ha'tshuva sh'ayishiv Rameinu Moshe ben Achman Rabbeinu Yonah krovo. And the following is the tshuva that the Ramban wrote to his relative Rabbeinu Yonah. And then, we don't need to read it again, he quotes it at length. Let's skip to the... Ad po toref ad tshuva. Do you have it? I mean, I don't... In the left-hand column, it's about halfway down the bottoms of the page. Ulefi, now he's telling us the facts. Up until now, he just quoted the Ramban. Ulefi sherabu halokhim pilakshim be'eret hazog. Since there are many people who have mistresses in this land, that is in Spain, umakadshim otam, katafti zel hodiyum legalu tautam. I'm writing to them to tell them that they're making a big mistake by engaging in any form of kiddushim with their mistresses.
They don't have to.
They shouldn't. Many people say that they perform this act of kedushin with their mistresses in order to prevent their mistresses from having sex with other people during the time that they're their mistresses. This is no argument for engaging in a formal act of kedushin. Ki achar she'omrim she'osim zeh kedei la'amod v'tahara yoshvei chutz le'iram u'beitam zman mam, v'yetzer lev adar rav mu'nirurav, yesh lehem la'asot echad mishnei dvarim kedei she'lo ya'avu divrei chazal, she'amru kala v'lo bracha asura la'ba'ala kanida, ha'echad she'ivru lehem isha miyuchedet tova she'lo tizne tachtehem, either they should choose a reliable mistress whom they can trust without any marriage contract whatsoever. Oh, haderech hasheni lichtov lo matayim zuzam ona or ne'ela betula v'yivarech sheva bracho. Like one out of two alternative steps. Either find yourself a woman who's your mistress whom you can trust to be faithful, or go through with the entire marriage contract. But don't do this halfway measure of doing a kedushin and no ketuva. ואם בעבור שיש מנהג ותקנה ברוב הארץ שלא יישא אישה אחרת תחתיה. If, because there is a custom here in these lands not to marry a second wife, ואם יישאנה יכולה לתבוע אשתו ראשונה כתובתה, remember, in the Spanish countries, the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom had not spread, but that many of the ketubot had as part of their clause. The wife, when she married her husband, had a clause in the original marriage contract that he would not be allowed to take a second.